Omagana Timananda Syaganjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigra Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Rajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vitamscha Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Tribhyastra Kripa Sinu Vyevacha Paditanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya, Jaya, Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya, Jaya, Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda I'm just going to read this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila Chapter 1, The Spiritual Masters, Text Number 4. Anarpitam Charir Charat Karuna yavatirna kalo samarpayitum udva unatavajvala rasam subhakti shriyam hari parata sundara duti kandamba sandipataha sadaridaya kandare spuratu vasachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Shrimati Devi. Let's try it again. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Shrimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Mong Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristaya Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatum Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharna. As we all know, this is the most auspicious day, the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not that Lord Chaitanya has come and then disappeared. Actually, he's appeared even in Belgium. And even in Belgium, he's dancing, no matter what the weather is. So, therefore, he must be in great ecstasy. And here it says that they were receiving a blessing by hearing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a blessing that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may become resplendent within our heart, in the innermost chambers of our heart, Right now, we don't even know what's in the innermost chambers of our heart. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, it won't make any difference. He's resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He's appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears once in a day of Brahma. Once in a day of Brahma is a long time for us. It is said, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, Ohur Yad Brahmano Vidu, Yatra Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Yatra Vidojanaha. 1,000 ages taken together equals to the duration of Brahma's one day. So one age is 4,300,000 years. If someone lives for 100 years, they're considered quite old. If they live for 4,300,000 years, it would be considered quite extraordinary. Just like Markandeya Rishi, he lived for that long, practically speaking. He lived for one day of Brahma. Of course, he made it. So that was considered extraordinary. But if you multiply that 1,000 times, that's Brahma's one day. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna appear once in a day of Brahma. Therefore, we're very fortunate. So close, although Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, it is actually very close in terms of our mundane time, in terms of cosmic time. Therefore, in that sense, every living entity who's taken birth has, in this planet Earth especially, has this opportunity to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our disciple succession, he came and demonstrated that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not for a few people within India, but actually was for the entire planet and ultimately for the entire universe. Although some people may think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has yet to be displayed, but actually it's already been displayed. It's been displayed by the Hare Krishna movement. Otherwise, how did we get here? If it wasn't for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The Hare Krishna movement, or other similar movements who are somehow or another trying to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, to deeply appreciate that message, we have to read Bhagavad Gita and study it. Because in the background of even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, vairagya and knowledge. Knowledge and detachment are the background. How does that start? Vairagya vidya nidya bhakti yoga. Vairagya vidya nidya bhakti yoga, the root of the tree of getting to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both vairagya and vidya. Of course, this vidya is not academic knowledge. This vidya is very simple knowledge that everyone is Krishna's servant and that everything here belongs, for instance, to Krishna. This knowledge is very easy to forget. We can memorize thousands of slokas and quote so many verses and lead wonderful ecstatic kirtans, but to recognize Krishna as the proprietor of everything, it's a little difficult sometimes. Not only of everything, but even our own bodies, to think that this is not my body, this is not my mind, this is not my intelligence, these are not even my words. This is very... not very good for the false ego, but it's very good for the soul. And not only Krishna owns everything, but everything is meant for his pleasure. To think that I'm doing something not for my protection, not for my betterment, but to please Krishna, this is rather radical thinking. There are many revolutionaries, but no one is more revolutionary than Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their philosophy. So this is vidya, and by that vidya, this is real vairagya. Need a bhakti yoga, and this could actually lead to his own real devotional service of Krishna. Therefore, in the background, tachchidana munaya jnana vairagya yuktaya. In the background is this philosophy of real jnana and real vairagya. And then it has to be based upon the real teachings, the Vedas. And what do the Vedas say? Yo mam ajama samudo janiti purushottama sasaravavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows Krishna as the Supreme Person is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore they engage in full devotional service. So to know Krishna is not very easy, because Krishna, he's not only the owner of our little planet, this tiny insignificant dot in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a universe which is so insignificant that probably Ananta doesn't even know where it is, if you asked him. Which way to Earth? Earth? Let me look it up on my computer. And all these universes clustered together are like a bag of, well, of mustard seeds. And Ananta is not even aware of them. And in the spiritual world, people don't talk about the Earth planet. There's no news about the Earth planet. It's just a little cloud that comes and goes, and people don't take it very seriously. But we ourselves, we take everything about our own little existence very seriously. One time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to Tamakrishna. At that time it was a Prabhu, as you probably heard that story before. And he was describing that in the spiritual world there is a lotus flower called Goloka Vrindavan, and it's so big that all the Vaikuntha planets can fit into that lotus flower. And there are unlimited lotus Vaikuntha planets, and each Vaikuntha planet is bigger than our entire universe, material universe. But in one little corner, one little part of that spiritual, unlimited spiritual sky, sometimes a tiny little cloud forms that no one really takes very seriously because they know it's not going to rain. But it comes and goes all the time. It's just like a little star in the sky. And in that cloud called the material universe, Mahavishnu lies down periodically, and from his pores, unlimited universes are emanating. And they grow and they bobble up and down on the causal ocean. And in one little tiny universe, the smallest of all the universes, as in all the universes, Mahavishnu, Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, expands himself and he enters into each universe as Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. And from his navel comes a lotus flower, and on top of the lotus flower, Lord Brahma with his four heads in our universe, being the smallest universe. But in some universes, Brahma has 10 heads, some 100 heads, some 1,000 heads, some 1,000,000 heads, some 10,000,000 heads. But in our universe, small universe, Lord Brahma is in the middle of this little tiny middle of the universe. If you take a thread and you draw a line from a little point in this book all the way 32 miles away, so that little point is the universe that we're in, and that point, that distance 32 miles away or 32 kilometers away, that's the coverings of the universe. That's how big the coverings are. So in that little tiny spot, that little point, in that point there is Brahma. He's sitting on the lotus flower, and in that lotus flower he creates unlimited number of planets that are floating like dust in the air. And one little piece of dust is called the Earth planet. And on that Earth planet, there are so many continents. One of them is North America. And in North America, there is the United States with so many states. California is one of them. And in California, there are so many cities, of which Los Angeles is one of them. And in Los Angeles, there are so many streets. La Cienega Boulevard is one of them. And on La Cienega Boulevard, there are so many houses. And there's one house. It's called the Hare Krishna Temple. And in the Hare Krishna Temple, there's one temple commander, and he thinks he's controlling everything. So actually, our existence is quite insignificant. And no matter how well we chant our rounds, or no matter how well we read the scriptures, or however we perform our devotional service, we may distribute thousands and millions of books, but we're not going to become really that much more significant than we already are. And believe it or not, we're not going to become any more insignificant, because when you're already completely insignificant, how can you become any more insignificant? As one devotee was telling Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." And Prabhupada's reply was, "You're not the most anything." "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Well, if you're the most fallen, then why don't you do something about it? In any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, inconceivable, and he's bestowing the mercy of Ujjvala Rasa, conjugal love for Krishna. Of course, this conjugal love is the exact opposite of mundane rasa. Therefore, it generally is not revealed very often because people have to be qualified to understand it. Of course, who in Kali Yuga is qualified? What is our qualification? Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhaga upadrutaha. Generally, most people's qualification is kalena apusa jana, kalavasmin gate. Prayena yapusha sabda kalavasmin yugejana. Generally, our qualification is we live for only a moment, very short lives. We're lazy, unlucky, misguided, and always disturbed. So the question is how the highest rasa, which is not revealed in other ages, is revealed to the residents of Kali Yuga, who have no qualification. And every day, tatashanudinam dharma, sattvam shama daya shama, kalena balaya raja nakshantya yorbalam smriti. In the 12th canto, as a parting information to enthuse all the residents of Kali Yuga, or reading the Bhagavatam, it is said, tatashanudinam dharma, day after day, dharma will diminish. People are thinking they're making progress. Progress towards what? They're making progress towards hell. And if you read the newspapers, you can see hell is everywhere in Kali Yuga, on this earth planet. It's every day, dharma is diminishing, and hell is increasing. And what is that hell? What is the symptoms of the hellish condition of Kali Yuga? Satam Shocham Daya Shama. Every day, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and tolerance, they'll all diminish. And Balena Kaliya Raja, and by the strong force of Kali Yuga, Balena Kaliya Raja, Nakshantyayur, Balam Smriti. People will lose their bodily strength and their memory will diminish. People need a computer just to find out where they put all their other computers. Like, for instance, they had this Japan catastrophe, which doesn't happen by accident. But then they were trying to fix the problem by trying to pour water into the reactors but with a generator. But they forgot to put the gas in the generator. So it didn't work. So we may forget their keys, they forget, you know, the, how many generators they have of radioactive material. So this is forgetfulness. Everyone has forgotten Krishna, and after that it goes from bad to worse. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, but what is the unique feature of Kali Yuga that it is said, Krite Tadayato Vishnu. In Krita Yuga and Satya Yuga, people could simply chant Hare Krishna or meditate upon Krishna, and Krishna would be revealed in their hearts automatically. Their hearts were so pure. Tretayam Yajito Mukai. In Treta Yuga, people had to perform some sacrifice because they became a little attached. Especially, what is people's anxiety? What is their main anxiety? Whether they're going to get something to eat or not. So when people became a little attached to whether or not they were going to get something to eat, and they start to store things away. This is me, mine. You can't get it. They hid it away. Then, in order to get take care of this greedy mentality which appeared in Treta Yuga, people had to throw something into the fire of sacrifice, some ghee. The ghee that they were going to cook their, what are they, chips with. Secretly eating chips at night. They had to throw into the fire. Oh, I got to do it. All right. Throw a few potatoes too. Take advantage of the fire. So that greedy mentality appeared in Treta Yuga. So when they made sacrifice, then their heart became a little pure and they could think about Krishna. And then in Dwapara Yuga, people not only became greedy, but they became covered with the modes of ignorance. And they would forget that actually Krishna was the proprietor of everything. Just like we see so many kings and Brahmins in Dwapara Yuga, they were all demons, more or less, because they've forgotten. Although they were powerful by performing the Vedic rites, the rituals, they hadn't forgotten that, but they had forgotten Krishna. Everything else was more or less remembered, like Jarasandha. He was a great lover of the Brahmins. Anyone who came to him, he gave them in charity, especially the Brahmins. He was a demon, but he wasn't killing the Brahmins, at least. He wasn't exploiting the Brahmins. He was giving them in charity. So even when Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimasena went to see Jarasandha in the guise of Brahmins, Jarasandha liberally gave them charity, even offered his whole own head in order to satisfy them. Who amongst us is so generous? Someone comes and asks, can you give me a donation? Well, I don't know. Well, okay, I'll give you a donation. What do you want? I want your head on a platter. Well, why don't we come back next week? See how I'm feeling. But he was offering his own head. He was so generous. But he was a demon, although he perfectly followed the Vedic injunctions. Therefore, by worshipping the deity in the temple, one would overcome that Vayam Dvitiya Vinesha Tasyat. One would recognize that the object of the Vedas was Krishna, and therefore one would be able to perform sacrifice for the deity in the temple, and therefore come to the platform of meditation and trance upon the deity. In Kali Yuga, we don't believe in Krishna, we don't believe in sacrifice, we don't believe that there's any higher goal in life than sense gratification. And we certainly aren't willing to perform any sacrifice for anything else other than sense gratification. We don't go to the temple to worship Vishnu. We don't believe there is a Vishnu. We don't believe that there's anything other than me and those things' relationship to me. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, the holy name is introduced because by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we chant the holy name following his footsteps, because in other ages the holy name was also there. But the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he's liberally distributing himself in the form of the holy name. Krishna is liberally distributing himself in the form of the holy name and giving his association to people who simply chant Hare Krishna. We don't have to have great ability to meditate. We don't have to be free completely from greed and willing to perform sacrifice for Vishnu, for Krishna. We don't even have to recognize Krishna and worship him. All we do is have to chant his name knowingly and unknowingly if it's being chanted according to the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following his footsteps. And the result is that people actually get Krishna's association. And the transcendental pleasure of Krishna's association will burn away all the contamination of impersonalism and materialism and establish one in one's transcendental position in relation to Krishna by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Therefore, what's achieved in all the other ages by so many difficult processes can be achieved in this age simply by chanting the holy name. Of course, we have to learn how to chant Hare Krishna. And of course, by chanting Hare Krishna and following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, that's all we have to do. That's all we have to learn. If we learn how to chant Hare Krishna, or very simply, with attention and with feeling, then the result is Krishna reciprocates. We already have feelings towards things, but we have feelings towards so many things in relation to our sense gratification. But when we have feeling towards Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates immediately. We don't have to. In other words, if we simply believe that there is a Krishna, then most of our problems are solved. And if we believe that if I love Krishna, then all my problems will be solved. To know that Krishna is God is one thing. We may be knowing Krishna is God, but we may not be very enthusiastic the fact that Krishna is God. We may think, why is Krishna a God? Why does he get all the gopis? Maybe he should get a couple to me at least for my service. So we may think like that. But to realize how wonderful it is that Krishna is God, and he's the nicest God we can imagine, we cannot imagine any God nicer than Krishna, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is displaying how liberal Krishna is, that he's giving love for Krishna freely to everyone, just by chanting the holy name and at the same time regulating our sense gratification. Parama karunha pahudvijana nityai gora chandra sabhavatar sarashiramani kevala anandakanda. That these two incarnations, Gauranitai, they're the very essence of all the incarnations. Whether when Lord Nrisimhadeva is bifurcating Hiranyakashipu or Matsya is swimming in the ocean of devastation, their whole aim is to come to this point, giving pure love to everyone of Krishna. In the spiritual world, that's the only thing everyone possesses is pure love for Krishna, and Krishna possesses pure love for everyone. And here, that's the most treasured gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing. And all the way up to the rasa of conjugal rasa. And the conjugal rasa, it is not that Krishna and the gopis are only selfishly enjoying each other, but actually they're serving all the residents of Vrindavan to the highest possible degree. The gopis are the greatest servants, and we can see that in their pastimes, for instance, when Krishna goes to the forest with the cowherd boys and the calves, the gopis didn't take part, but their hearts went with him. And what were the gopis thinking about? They were thinking about the ducks and the cranes, the swans, how they were in ecstasy hearing Krishna's flute, how Krishna was on Govardhan Hill playing his flute with Balaram, and the clouds were pouring down, not rain, just rain, actually the clouds were protecting Krishna from the scorching sunshine. But even the clouds were in love with Krishna and Balaram. The demigods would come down and they glorify Krishna and they... All these residents of Vrindavan from the trees offering their honey and their leaves to Krishna, to the ducks, the cranes, the swans, the cows. When the cows would hear the sound of Krishna's flute, which emits transcendental liquid ecstasy, then the calves would become stunned, and the calves which were sucking milk from the cow's udders would also become stunned, and tears of ecstasy would flow down their eyes. So this is real education, that even the cows were educated in Krishna consciousness. They got their PhD just by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing the sound of Krishna's flute and the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that flute, that sound will attract us back to Krishna, who's playing that flute. Shrimad Rasa Rasarambi, Vangsi Vata Tatasi Taha, Karshan Venu Sunera Gopira, Gopinatha Shie Sunaha. That Krishna is in Vangsivat playing on his flute and attracting the whole universe, especially the gopis are running and enthusiastically to join Krishna. But the gopis are trying to get everyone. They're servants of everyone, they appreciate everyone's love for Krishna. They think we have no love, but see these wonderful calves who are in ecstasy hearing Krishna's flute and tears are flowing from their eyes. See the peacocks who are dancing so gratefully with Krishna, and Krishna is the king of the peacocks. He's the king of the dancers. So there are servants of the servants. Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayar, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So in that mood of the gopis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going everywhere, trying to emanate the transcendental world of the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna and of their associates in that same mood of trying to bring everyone back to the spiritual world. And that mood is manifested through his confidential associates, especially Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed love for Krishna, but he also manifested great feelings of separation from Krishna. And that feelings of separation from Krishna and the mood of the gopis is manifested in Lord Nityananda going everywhere under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, trying to get everyone to feel separation from Krishna so that they can get the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya and enter into the spiritual world. And that all that mercy is manifested simply in the offenseless chanting of the holy name. And by chanting the holy name and hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives, then we learn how to chant offenselessly, how to chant in the broad conception of what really Krishna consciousness is. That everyone has the potential of reestablishing their relationship with Krishna in this age simply by chanting Hare Krishna and watering the root. And what is that root? Yata tara mula nishe chinena triptyanti tatskana bujo pashaka pranaharascha yatendriyanam tataiva savarhanam atuteja. That root in this age is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find in the description in the Adi Leela that he's the root of the bhakti tree. And he has so many leaves and so many branches coming out, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and they have so many sub-branches, and one of those sub-branches is the ISKCON movement, trying to teach people how to water the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Hare Krishna in the mood of service to his mission, which is Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Pudesh Amar Agai Guru Tara Hana Tare Desh. Whoever you meet, somehow or another, try to help them become Krishna conscious. It is not a very complicated mission. Simply being convinced that Krishna is an unlimitedly loving, blissful, attractive personality way beyond anyone's comprehension. An ocean of divine qualities. And that when one comes in contact with Krishna, one becomes ecstatically mad in love for Krishna. And if people simply chant Hare Krishna, then they're actually getting the opportunity to enter into that ocean of Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. That is the greatest gift that anyone can give, is giving people the opportunity to appreciate the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take up the mission of distributing the holy name. So we're fortunate to be part of the ISKCON movement founded by Srila Prabhupada, one of the branches or one of the sub-branches on the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree, who's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being the root, and if we simply try to water the root by following his instructions, then the result is we'll become blissful, and the more we become blissful, ecstatic, and feeling separation from Krishna and Vrindavan, then naturally other people will become blissful too. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have to go into the forest and preach to the animals. He was so ecstatic by bringing the mercy of the transcendental world of Goloka Vrindavan, the ecstasy of the loving exchanges between Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan wherever he went, and that mood of intense separation, that the animals felt so much divine ecstasy that they themselves began to dance and kiss the lions, and the deer were kissing each other. That's real romance. You can read so much romance, man meets girl, a girl meets boy, but this is tiger meets deer. So that's real romance. And they were kissing each other and chanting the holy name. So divine love and ecstasy. So that's what will change the world. It is not that by some clever organization on the part of ISKCON or changing our appearance or whatever else, this will not change anything very much. The only thing that will change the world is if we can chant Hare Krishna and do it in the mood of intense separation from Krishna, in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even if we can't do that, if we just try to water the root a little bit, follow the instructions, then gradually that will be the result. Gradually, we'll get to the platform of Bhakti Parishnu Vaktira Anyatra Trika Ekakala Prapanamanasya Tashnata Sus Tushti Pushti Shudapaya Nugasam. Just like when we're hungry, if someone gives us something to eat, simultaneously we get satisfaction from eating the food. Then there's alleviation of hunger, and there is a, with every morsel. And then we get strength from eating the food. It is not that one has to have some higher education to get that result. Or as Prabhupada said, we don't need a certificate, you ate a meal. Similarly, if one follows the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nicely, then the result is gradually there'll be feelings of love for Krishna. Growing awareness of how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, and then feelings of love for Krishna and everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. And then the detachment from the madness of Kali Yuga, which is trying to draw people's minds away from the divine into the most abominable level, lowest modes of material nature. So these things will automatically come if we just follow this, the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the mercy of our disciple succession given to us by Srila Prabhupada. The instructions given by Srila Prabhupada are just all part of the process of watering the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and producing the divine feelings of love and separation from Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan, which will change actually the whole world and make it into Vaikuntha rather than into the horrible age of Kali. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments, questions? Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say they're the same thing. But there's a difference between Gyan and Vigyan. We can have a little faith that Krishna is God, and we can have a lot of faith that Krishna is God. But according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, that real faith, Krishna Bhakti Sarvakrita Hai, what's the first word of that? Vishvasya Kahe Krishna. Krishna Bhakti Vishvasakai Srida Vishvai Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarvakama Krita Kai. Krita Kai. Is that right? So close, anyhow. It wasn't exactly right. That to believe that Krishna is God, to have firm faith, Vishvasakai, that's real faith. That's the definition of faith. Shraddha shabde. So the word shraddha actually means shraddha shabde vishvasakahe. Actually means to have firm faith, vishvasakahe. To have firm faith that Krishna kaile, that simply by serving Krishna, everything else will be accomplished. That if I surrender to Krishna, then everything that is really beneficial for myself and others will be accomplished. So that's the definition of real faith. If we do a little bit, it's a little faith, but it's not firm faith. It's not Vishvasakai. Nishta. We have to come to the platform of Nishta before we really begin our actual devotional service to Krishna. Now we're practicing devotional service, but it may not be so devotional. We may realize it's for our interest, and that's good. We have faith that this is going to do good for me. But it's not done completely for devotion, to please Krishna. But at the state of nishta, then we begin to realize that actually, if I do things lovingly for Krishna, then that's even a greater manifestation of real faith. Now we should just understand what our real interest is, and what's not our interest was actually, anasaktasya vishayan yatarha upitunjusha. No, that's not. Anukulesya sankalpe pratikulyasya varjana. So first we have to recognize what is really in our interest to perform, and what is our interest not to do. Then gradually the other platforms of real faith will manifest themselves. Believe that Krishna will protect us, keep us in Krishna consciousness, we follow his instructions, and that he'll maintain our spiritual life, that we should have no interest besides Krishna's interest, and to realize how unlimitedly wonderful Krishna is, and therefore thinking of ourselves completely insignificant in comparison to him. Yes. Yes, we have to work very hard. We have to work to give up all our nonsense or all our reluctancy to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's what we have to work for. The mercy is free. It's giving out freely. It's available for everyone, especially in Kali Yuga. But because we don't want to accept it, therefore we have to work very hard so we can overcome our reluctance to accept it. Otherwise, there's no impediment, only our causeless unwillingness to accept it. Yes.
Significant.
Why? Well, it's very hard for the false ego. But nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. It's insignificant. We should never think ourselves so significant that we think, well, who is Krishna compared to me? I'm so great. No, we should realize how insignificant we are. But because the letter we're carrying is so significant, therefore we act very carefully to deliver that letter. The message of love of God is so significant. Krishna is so significant. It's so vital for everyone. Therefore, we work very carefully and very diligently to deliver the letter. The postman doesn't consider himself a great benefactor of others. But if he's giving a letter which has billions of dollars in it to someone, he handles it very carefully and delivers it very nicely. Not that the postman thinks, well, I'm insignificant. I just got this letter with $1 billion in it. I think I'll just, you know, go to the movies for a while and maybe I'll come back tomorrow and deliver the letter. No, he realizes the urgency of delivering the letter because how important the letter is. So we're insignificant, but the letter that we're delivering is very significant. And not only that, but our whole body, mind, and words, which are actually the instruments of Krishna's, which actually belong to Krishna, these have to be totally dedicated in delivering that message. Then, although we'll realize how insignificant we are, but that's all right. If you're in love with someone, just like if a man or a woman are in love with each other, then they think how wonderful my lover is. They don't think, and then they feel themselves insignificant. So that's not a bad feeling. They don't think, oh, now I'm feeling insignificant. Maybe I should just give up my loving feelings. That way I can get back my false ego again. No, actually, it's part of the happiness, becoming lost in love for the object of your feeling. So when we realize how wonderful Krishna is, then we feel ourselves insignificant because he's so wonderful. How can we have any significance in comparison to him? But Krishna has the same feeling. When he sees how surrendered his devotees are, he feels himself insignificant. And he relishes, he appreciates his devotees unlimitedly. And when the devotee sees how much Krishna appreciates him, then he appreciates Krishna even more. So it's not that one loses anything if we lose our false ego and become madly in love with Krishna, but we gain everything. And then we actually have some value. Then Krishna thinks we have some value, a great value. Then everyone else will think we have some value. In the spiritual world, when the Manjaris are coming to see Radha and Krishna, that they delight everyone. Everyone delights each other in the spiritual world. It's not when the bumblebees are humming, then everyone says, well, keep quiet, you're causing a racket, we're trying to listen to Krishna's flute. No, that everyone appreciates even the humming sound of the bees. When Tulsi gives off her aroma in the morning, transcendental aroma, everyone appreciates it. Even in the midst of all the unlimited appreciation that Radha and Krishna are getting and the gopis are getting, everyone, this is just the spiritual world means an unlimited capacity for appreciation. So even when we do our service there or here, all the transcendental associates of Krishna appreciate it. It's not when someone comes to the temple that Radha and Krishna, they ignore them, thinking, well, we got better things to do than these fallen souls. No, actually they become very happy to see everyone who comes. And the Manjaris, and even the cows, they become happy too. So they appreciate whatever we can do. Yes. Well, I mean, once in the day of Rama, it's happening again and again and again. It's not just once and that's it. You accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or that's it. No, it happens once in the day of Rama, but that's quite a long time. Otherwise, in other planets, Vamanadeva appears in the heavenly planets and he's still there having his pastimes and And in the Brahmaloka, there's Hiranyagarbha. Lord Vishnu manifested with thousands of heads and arms and legs. But here on this earth planet, we just happen to have a little special opportunity that he's appeared here. And of course, the demigods, they themselves, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, then the demigods came to participate also in the pastimes, because he wasn't going to visit their planet, so therefore they came, dressed as Brahmins or Brahminis. They came and offered gifts to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, when Prabhupada was having kirtan, or they had a program, Conway Hall, at first many hundreds of people came, but it was a 10-day program and gradually diminished. Only a few people came. And the devotees became very disappointed. And Prabhupada said, why should you be disappointed? When the devotees told Prabhupada they were disappointed. He said, didn't you see? Narada Muni was there. Lord Brahma was there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. They were all there. Why should you be disappointed? They were all dancing in ecstasy. Didn't you see how Narada Muni was half mad in ecstasy? So if they weren't disappointed, why should you be disappointed? So that in this age, the demigods are coming here, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting his pastimes from here. So we should come here too. Our consciousness should come here. We shouldn't be in some planet somewhere else. Yes. Unlucky too. Well, we should have at least one child who will become like Vishnu, a devotee of Vishnu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, I could have a hundred children if they could actually be devotees of Krishna. So we shouldn't produce children like the hogs and the dogs in great numbers. But we should have at least one child, or a lot of children. But Kamara Acharat Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavataniha, Duralavam Manusha Janma, Tadapyajuvam Artadam. From the beginning of life, they should be trained in Krishna consciousness. So before we start producing children, first we should have gurukuls to educate them in. Not that we produce children and send them to the modern education, and then they get trained up to become demons, and then maybe later on life, if they're fortunate enough, they may take some prasadam, chant Hare Krishna. No, we should have the educational opportunities for them, and the service of them after the educational opportunities. Now they get trained up in Vanashram Dharma, and at the end they have to get a job in a restaurant somewhere. No, first we create the society, and then we can fill it in with the people, with the devotees. And it's not really that difficult, but because we don't take things seriously, therefore we take it all as something very difficult. And the root is we have to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, because if we can experience spiritual pleasure by chanting Hare Krishna, then all our distractions, the movies, the videos, all this electronic equipment, everything, we won't become so much distracted by it. And then we can focus on more of the simple living side, because we can be satisfied with chanting the holy names. And we're not satisfied chanting the holy names, then we'll be distracted by so many things that are being offered to us. And we're distracted by so many things, we won't have time to build a simple society where children don't have to get some mundane education in order to get some technological job in order to survive. Yes.
About this personality who sacrifices on man as a donation, you mentioned that he is, he followed all the principles of
Yeah, Sura, Jarasandha, because he didn't like Krishna. He had a few friends who didn't like Krishna either. Anyhow, the real thing we're trying to inspire people is to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. If we don't, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Duty is occupation given by men. Dharma ksunusti tak pumsam, vishvaksena katasuyat. No padi ayatiratim, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Duties executed by men are so much useless labor if they don't promote attraction for the message of Krishna. So by following the Vedas, one becomes powerful. So these demons were powerful. Jarasandha had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was able to conquer the 40,000 kings and put them in prison because he became powerful by following the Vedas. But that power was misused because he was a demon. So it's by following the Vedas one becomes very powerful, like Hiranyakashipu. He was also a great follower of the Vedas. Lord Ramachandra sent Vibhishan to Ravana before he left to get instruction how to run the kingdom because he was a great learned scholar. But because he was not a devotee of Krishna, it was all misused for his sense gratification. You don't become powerful by, you know, materially powerful by some mundane education in the modern, you know, technological education. You become powerful by following the Vedas. You can't even become healthy by mundane education. Clean water, fresh air, peaceful living, friendly relationships, freedom from anxiety. This is real education, how to achieve those things. Not atomic reactors that explode and anyone within 20,000 miles gets zapped. That's not education. That's foolishness. They created, with their so-called sense gratification, something that ultimately simply causes suffering. So that's ignorance. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.